Hello, the internet, and welcome to season 41, episode 4 of The Daily Zeitgeist for July 26, 2018. My name is Jack O'Brien, a.k.a. Hey La, my boyfriend's Jack, courtesy of Christy Yamaguchi, man, and I'm thrilled to be joined, as always, by my co-host, Mr. Miles Gray!
Hey, yo! Miles Gray is on fire!
And then, this real quick.
Consume with Zeit Gang and O'Brien.
All right, shout out to you, Christina OD. Chris at Chris Loves Life for that, what was that, Kings of Leon track? Shout out to the homegirl Lily Aldridge, who I went to high school with, who used to smoke cigarettes in her Volkswagen, who I think is married to the dude Caleb in that band. Little known fact, now widely known.
That song could have been a female pop, like an Alicia Keys or something like that.
Yeah.
Just that's who I thought it was as you were singing.
Well, that was This Girl Is On Fire.
Oh, okay. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Isn't that hers?
It is.
This girl is on fire.
Yep.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Well, we are thrilled to have in our third seat a returning guest, a hilarious stand-up comedian, one of our favorites ever, Maynard!
Hey, guys. I want to sing, too.
Yeah, what do you
but
want?
But I was put under so much pressure.
Okay. By yourself?
Yes, by myself. I was like, they're going to want me to sing, and I don't know.
And ever, what will you be singing?
I want to sing Michael Jackson.
Okay, which one?
I don't know, but like Man in the Mirror.
Oh, okay.
Man in the Maynard?
No. I'm talking about the man in the Maynard.
Oh, yes.
The Maynard in the mirror.
The Maynard in the mirror.
If you want to make the world and every place that could look in.
Okay, anyway.
All right. Well, that will be the entirety of this podcast. Just us kind of trying to improvise some AKAs. But first, before we get to know you a little bit better, Ever, we are going to take our listeners through what we're about to talk about. We are going to check in with Tom Cruise because he is an unstoppable, sprinting, asexual robot. We are going to talk about how Facebook stock is taking a big dive, what Drudge is calling death spiral.
Hell yeah.
We're going to talk about a trend that I'd like to see more of, you guys, Zeit Gang. Let's make this happen. Low stakes Boston Tea Party. Someone set Betsy DeVos's yacht adrift. We're going to talk about this new attempt by the Freedom Caucus to,
just
impeach
fuck around.
Rod Rosenstein, I guess. We're going to check back in with Helsinki, see where we stand on a bunch of different things. Following that, we're going to find out 23andMe's end game, and it's kind of scary. We're going to talk about mayo ice cream, and finally, the reboot we've all been waiting for.
Yes.
Frasier might come back. But first, Ever, we'd like to ask you, what is something from your search history that's revealing about who you are?
Well, I've been doing a lot of research on shot put recently, and I found out I've been researching who the first woman was.
Okay.
I'm blanking on her name, but in the Olympics, it was 1948, she was the first woman to win gold in shot put, and on that Olympics, she medaled in three different things, discus, which she just picked up and won gold, and then high jump, and she was also a composer and a pianist.
High jump. Wow. Yeah. I would not have guessed after those first two. High jump was incredible.
But then she played Beethoven she's a composer and a pianist, and played concert recitals, and afterwards had two concert recitals after the Olympics.
I mean, I'm not impressed by that, but I could see how some people would be. But that's no big deal for
me.
And
she's not even a big girl. You know what I mean?
She's
just out
here.
I was like, damn, dog.
Sophie Lichterman, can you find her name for us by the end of the podcast?
Micheline Ostermeyer?
Yep.
Oh.
Of France?
France.
I was going to guess it was, but I just remember.
Oui, Micheline Ostermeyer, yes. Yeah. Oh, wow. I love how it just puts her quick one line on Wikipedia. French athlete and concert pianist.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Boom.
She quit at...
Whoa,
she...
great niece of Victor Hugo?
Yeah.
Damn.
God damn.
She had the hookup, man.
Yeah.
I'll let
you hear me.
And then I've had a lot of alone time. Actually, this is the most I've spoken in 2 days.
Oh, boy.
What a rush. But
you've been in self-imposed solitary for the past 2 days?
Just staring at the Maynard in the mirror. But you guys, we live on a planet called Earth, and some dude made up that name, and we were like, yeah, I'm going with it.
What, Earth?
Yeah, Earth.
Yeah.
And we just accept it. We're like, yeah, okay, sounds chill.
That's the thing about getting in early and
stuff.
Man,
tell me
about
it.
You can really set the tempo of the conversation.
But that was like a 3-hour conversation I had with myself. And I was just like writing. I was like, this is going to be a killer bit.
Oh, really?
And my roommate came home this morning and I was like, hey, listen to this. And they were like,
yeah. It's like, have you not you talked okay? to people for 2 days?
Yeah. Yeah, okay. Anyways, okay. Yeah, so that's what I've been searching.
Mm-hmm. Wait, why shot put though?
Oh, I love it.
Oh, really?
I think about it every day.
You throw?
Yeah, I used to. I'm thinking about throwing again, but here's the deal. You can't just, I mean, you could go to a park and practice, but you're just throwing a cannonball at a park.
There's not many like pickup games of shot putting going on.
Shout out to my friend Nick in high school during track practice, or we were in band, but there was track practice going on, and he saw a shot that he thought was a ball. Kicked it and blew his toe off.
Oh!
He's like, yeah, check this out.
Boom!
And you're like, it was eight, or however many pounds it is. Yeah.
Yeah.
So anyway.
12 pounds.
Dos Equis needs to make that woman the most interesting woman in the world.
Oh, yeah.
They keep going with that same dude.
Well, no, they changed it.
They changed the dude, but I think the premise in the Dos Equis universe was that that is him as a younger man,
oh,
isn't it?
Oh, is it? Yeah, I don't even care enough in the lore of
that
character.
Come on, guys. She is the most interesting person in the universe.
She took a break during the war and then she came back hard, you know?
That's damn
crazy.
I know.
What is something you think is overrated?
What do I think is overrated? I think I put down Texas hospitality.
Yeah, and keep Austin
Keep Austin. Okay, listen. You fucks coming into the state of Texas, great, welcome. But you're being so rude on the highway and I went home to visit. And people, I'm angry about this. I'm a Buddhist, but you know what I mean? I was just
you're
like,
a Buddhist Texan.
Just watch your rage, you know? And I went home to visit. And this kind of goes into my myth, but people were such dicks. And I was like, have they always been dicks, like driving?
Mm-hmm.
And my parents were like, well, you know, everybody's just moving into Texas. And this was like their big thing. They were so excited. They're like, now when you're driving, you see license plates from all over.
It's like, great when you're on a road trip. You're like, oh, Arizona.
But now they're like, in our little town, they're like, we saw one from Alaska. I was like, yay.
Right.
Cool.
That's a long drive.
Yeah, but like even driving in LA, you think you get like used to like garbage traffic. But then I went to Austin and I was like, bitch, let me merge, you know, or like even get on the interstate.
So the overrated is what? Just people's attitudes of driving.
Oh yeah, we're just like Austin's not weird anymore.
Right.
You know, it's just kind of like.
Oh, you're from Austin, right?
I'm from around Austin. Yeah. I'm from a tiny.
So you've seen it shift over the years from one place to a lot of.
It's still a great city. Okay, I'm not trying to hate on the city, but I was just like, oh, this is just okay.
Yeah.
All right. Give me another Chipotle.
This is a general trend that we're seeing in America where people are like valuing living in like cool cities more than
a job
exactly and like you know quality of life just being near culture, and so everybody's moving, and also a lot of the jobs are going to these cool cities, which makes it sort of practical that people are moving there. But
hey, get out of LA, make those rents go down.
Right.
You know what I mean?
And Austin and Nashville are two towns that I've heard specifically are getting just flooded with people, and the infrastructure is just not built for it, and the traffic has just gotten like worse than Los Angeles and in Austin and Nashville, which sucks
for
people who've lived there forever. And I'm sure it sucks for the people who are just moving there.
Yeah.
Not good for anyone.
Yeah, I thought about this right after my trip from visiting home. As I'm like sitting here, I'm like, you sound like a crazy asshole. Like, I've been alone. Fuck traffic. Everybody sucks. Earth.
Like, who
Whoa,
came up with
Ever,
that?
Are you okay?
What
Five
is something...
planets are in retrograde. Sorry, guys.
Yeah, what?
Let's put you on a positive path. What is something that's underrated?
Something that is underrated? Oh, fuck, socks, man. Like, I used to not wear them, and then I went through wearing them, and then sometimes I'll wear a decorative sock.
Uh-huh.
Oh, my God. I've been so alone.
Just the warm embrace of a sock on your bare foot. I mean, nothing compares to that.
When you have a sock with a nice moisture wick.
Uh-huh.
Uh-oh.
She's openly weeping.
Oh, my God.
Tears streaming down her face.
I'm so grateful. Yeah, but socks, man. We overlook them. They can make an outfit. They can bring an outfit.
They can.
It's true.
You know, it's funny. Watch now, like, people wear, like, white socks, plain white socks are coming back.
Mm-hmm.
Like, before, I'm sort of team no-show.
Yeah,
or team mm-hmm. low socks. That's like my 90s basketball aesthetic of like, yo, keep the socks hidden.
Yeah.
We used mm-hmm. to do this shit in school. My friend Chris put me onto this where you pull the sock. Like if you had a crew sock, you pull that shit as low as you want it and then just fold over the excess.
You fold it over the top?
Yeah,
I fold
yeah.
it under, man.
Oh, underneath? Yeah. Like your sole?
And I still do that shit.
Damn. Yeah. See, wow. Again, these are leftover habits from 90s basketball kids.
Yeah.
Anyway, so... Yeah, the sock thing, it's interesting to see, like, you know, the white sock wave coming back.
Oh, it's coming
I love
back
decorative hard. Socks.
So I'm wearing a decorative sock
white socks
today,
that but... are, like, mid-calf length? Like
yeah,
how...
like, I always see, like, whenever you look at, like, people in, like, fashion spreads, that people just got, like, the obviously, like, a tapered pant or something that's maybe a little bit above your ankle, but uh-huh. then just exposing the wild white sock. And uh-huh. I used to be like, oh, no.
Right.
And then I'm like, okay, maybe that's a little bit of a wave.
I'm going to bring back a pilgrim look.
Uh-huh.
Ooh.
Fuck it.
Yeah.
Just white socks over black pants.
Just stockings. Yeah, like yeah, exactly.
Proper. Some fucking stockings.
Like baseball style.
What's your favorite brand of sock? Do you have a favorite brand?
No.
Okay.
You know, I just buy I hate to admit it, I found these at Urban Outfitters.
Okay.
It was a shame that I went into that store, but I was like, whatever.
Yeah, well if they're doing 70% off.
Tell me about it.
Socks,
I'm about to get some socks. Right now I'm kicking it with some Hanes.
Okay. Wow.
Hanes underrated sock. Just a nice classic, again, white sock
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I've been wearing.
Wait, you said you didn't wear socks for a minute? You had a non-sock era?
Yeah, we wore a lot of Vans.
Oh, yeah,
wore a lot of slip-ons. Yep. And then...
Then they rotted. Your feet rotted.
Did a lot of questionable fashion choices in Chicago. A lot of mullets. A lot of rat tail mullets. A lot of feathered mullets.
You had a feathered mully?
Yeah, it was tight. I thought it was tight, but then I looked back on pictures and I was like, oh.
Yeah.
I'm
how long was
sure
this ago?
Was
six,
that
7 months
awesome.
Ago?
Yeah. Two.
2 months.
You saw me with it. No, yeah, it was wild. But yeah, I used to just wear jorts. Yeah. No
jorts,
socks.
Mully, no socks with the Vans.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah,
how did your Vans smell?
Disgusting.
Yeah, I was about to say.
Disgusting.
Doesn't that get to a point, though, like where you rock shoes with no socks and you're like, I don't know if I have to throw these socks away or these shoes away or my fucking feet away.
I've never had the luxury of wearing shoes with no socks.
Really? You always had to wear socks?
Yeah.
Oh, because you just be just sweating them out?
Very sweaty.
You know, that's why I found like a shoe, like, cause like sometimes I just don't like to wear socks. There's mm-hmm. some good natural sprays that surprisingly bring your shit back to neutral.
Mm. You can bring out the soles, clean those, wash your shoes. Mm. Sometimes it's really liberating not to wear a sock, and you're like,
oh yeah, I did it to work the other day, and I had a panic attack.
I love it. Why?
I didn't tell anybody because I was like, these are gonna stink up.
Was that the day that you were just sitting on the floor all day, rocking back and forth
with
the
garbage bag on my feet? Yeah, it's like, don't get near me, man. I stepped in something.
I feel like socks are one of the trends that changes the most, like quickly. I feel like I don't know.
I mean, not people for don't... us. You talking
I've
to
been wearing
you
it
and
the...
I have doing the same shit for since like
but
20 years.
But I also
years.
Notice it like on
right,
other
right.
people because like I could never wear. Long socks, it just like bothers me for whatever reason. So like I notice that like all of a sudden it'll be back and then it'll go away.
Yeah,
it's like they're the eyebrows of the feet. You know how people's eyebrows like change
eyebrow fashion.
Eyebrow fashion is
now people like a thick, just don't fuck with it.
Right,
it used mm-hmm. to be the arch or the thin ass eyebrows.
Let's keep it thick, guys. Let's keep it thick.
All right,
hell yeah.
And also, if you work for a sock company, hit us up.
Hit us up. You know I'll wear your socks.
Because, we're trying to, you know, every time Ever's on, we try and beg. Maynard in the Mirror is on. We try and beg for something free. Last time it was Nikes.
Shout
out
to Alan. Thanks for the hookup.
Shout out to Alan.
Ever, what is a myth? What's something people think is true you know to be false?
Well, okay, so this is like growing up. We like learned in school. It's almost like the goat man. You know what I mean?
Okay,
like,
busting Texas hallways, myths. Yeah.
And like when we all got our licenses like that, like 15, 16. And then it would be like, well, you know, the guy who engineered the interstate system killed himself. And everyone was like, what? And apparently, like the on-ramp,
mm-hmm.
he miscalculated how long it should be and made a fatal error. So like the on-ramps in some of these like interstate mergers uh-huh. are so short. That's why I was also like really mad that people wouldn't let you merge on.
Because
they're just
There's not enough
exactly.
Leadway.
So people were dying.
Runway, right.
And they'd already made these interstates. And this is like back in the day, right? So he realized this after the fact, and he killed himself.
He really did, though? That's no bullshit? Or is that one of those teen myths that we talk about, like how corn got their name?
I kind of refuse to know the answer, but I'll look up the answer now.
This is something I respect in old-timey inventors that we don't have in our current like tech bro culture, where like the guy who invented the loudspeaker blamed himself till the day he died for the rise of fascism because he was just like, you know, by creating loudspeakers, it enabled like, you know, dictators to reach entire voice, right? rooms of people. And like, he was just like, felt so
was
guilty.
Like
he blamed himself for the Holocaust and everything.
Which guy was this?
Yeah, the inventor of the loudspeaker, a guy named Peter Jensen, apparently totally blamed himself for the rise of authoritarianism and Nazism because he invented it. And then there were just all sorts of authoritarian governments popping up everywhere.
Oh, you know what? This is on Snopes.com. Is this an urban legend or there's some truth to it? I've heard from several people that the designer of the Interstate 35 committed suicide because he felt badly for the people who died in accident. I'm a native Austinite and was always curious. And the answer says it's a legend. No single individual designs a highway, says John Hurt. Okay, conspiracy.
Boom.
John Hurt.
Boom. It's
spokesman.
Been busted.
Yeah. Spokesman for the Texas Department of Transportation. And design takes years. Okay, really?
Okay, good to know. So that's just shitty design.
That shitty people... design.
Yeah, because I always wonder, there's a couple, I feel like, there's an interchange like that, not like in LA, or like when you're driving out of LA, where I'm like, damn, that's a short runway to be merging. And you're like, I'm surprised I didn't get an accident.
Speaking of inventors who don't feel guilty enough for their inventions, Facebook's stock is taking a big dive right now. They have lost, I think, $120 billion in valuation.
Technically, I think $123
billion. $123
billion. Overnight.
To put that in perspective, Twitter's market cap is $33 billion, so Facebook just lost four Twitters, and that was all overnight.
Yeah. And Snapchat is, I think, only 17.
Right.
So, yeah, I think when you really – that's how you realize how fucking big Facebook is, because that was only – what, I think a 20% there. I think they started at 629 yesterday and they opened at 506.
Yeah.
So
anybody checking on Mark? Mark, you okay, man?
Marky Z.
Check on old Narc Zuckerberg and see how he's doing.
Hey, Mark, you guys okay? How's
they try and spin it though because it was about their earnings report and they're like, well, we're doing it because we're spending a lot on security and like algorithms and machine learning to make sure we keep stories in about, fucking Alex Jones telling people to shoot Robert Mueller or, you know, Holocaust deniers and things like that. I don't know. But they're saying it's a lot of spending that they're doing to get your safety.
Right.
Back.
They missed their numbers was essentially the big thing, is that they didn't grow as fast as they had projected they were going to grow. And that combined with all of the trouble they've been having PR-wise combined, I think people were just looking for an excuse to kind of jump off the bandwagon.
Yeah.
And yeah, like you said, Miles, they're treating it as a technical issue. Like, okay, well, technically, like we had this issue and now we're addressing it. But I think we're seeing in recent days that this is a fundamental philosophical question that I don't know is answerable, where they're basically saying, you know, they're not willing to take complete responsibility for what people learn on Facebook and the information that gets disseminated. And that information is like leading to mobs murdering innocent grandmothers in India.
Right.
It's leading to Alex Jones saying that he thinks Robert Mueller is a pedophile.
Yeah.
And
ethnic cleansing.
Yeah. Ethnic cleansing is happening. And so there was this meeting with where somebody was trying to explain the guy who's, I think, in charge of the algorithm, or actually he's in charge of their new video player. And he was saying, what we're trying to do is make it so that if you are saying something that is untrue, you're allowed to say it as long as you're an authentic person. We try to make it so that it doesn't get much distribution. So those are kind of different thing. So basically he's saying you can say whatever you want and we won't distribute it, but that requires like, I don't know, there's not a clear philosophical outlook there.
Right. Well, I guess it's just sort of like, we respect your right to say whatever, but it's not a right that people have to hear it
Right.
All over the place.
But that seems like a very difficult thing to accomplish because it's a lot of judgment involved, and they can't make a judgment call on every single one of these.
I mean, they can't even make a judgment call on Holocaust deniers.
Right.
Mark
Zuckerberg recently said that it's okay to be a Holocaust denier. He's trying to use this like national standard for free speech.
Right.
And that doesn't really cut it in for a media outlet that has like direct and untraceable access into like 20% of the global population's brain and probably like a much larger chunk of the global population that is up on 2 feet affecting change since it's mostly like, you know, youngish people in other countries and then in our country, at least able-bodied people.
Do you use Facebook ever?
Not anymore. Not as much. I won't say not anymore, but like to post a show, be like, hey.
Right.
I'm not like, oh, what's going on?
Because I remember I started off being like really hyped on it and like, oh, shit, here's that homie from elementary school that moved away years ago. Or people mistaking me for someone they thought was a long lost classmate. And then I would post my vacation photos.
Yeah, you post on somebody's timeline. Hey, what's up? Not anymore.
Yeah, now I'm like, I don't know. Maybe it's the luster. Or I don't know. Like, it's less attractive to me. Or like, I'm
it's a garbage dump.
Yeah, I'm like, I don't get the thrill of using Facebook as I used to. And then once you look at all this
dude,
shit
Mark's
that's been going
listening,
on.
Man, be gentle.
That's fine. Hey,
you gotta be gentle. Mark, how's your spine?
Go cry on your pile of billions of dollars, fam, because we're coming for that shit too. But like, the. Yeah, I don't know. Just it seems not as useful, or I just don't like it as much. Or maybe I'm taking my privacy more seriously, or I don't want to use it. I think
that's a nice exactly. Like, oh, my privacy. Oh, fuck. Like, you know everything about me.
I'm
now.
Like, oh, you've been selling my shit. Yeah. That's why I'm getting these ads.
And also now, if you want to promote like a show or like something, like now you have to pay or like trick the algorithm, and it's just like, oh man, this sucks.
And I mean, we need to. And I think people are getting better at thinking about their attention as a finite resource. You know, you only have so much attention to go around, and you can't let it be squandered on bullshit, especially like untrue bullshit, because it's both harmful to you personally and to society in general. But yeah, I don't know necessarily how they walk this line, because so they did, you know, kind of shrink InfoWars or shrink Fox News' distribution, and I think shrink InfoWars' and maybe even banned InfoWars' account. And now the right is up in arms about that. And, you know, they've been receptive to pressure from the right, you know, claiming that they're censoring free speech. And so it's just like it's going to be this back and forth. There's no clear answer to how they're going to address this.
At some point, just put your fucking foot down.
Right.
As Facebook and be like, fuck you. These are lies.
Yeah. Right.
I don't give a fuck. Do whatever you want. I'm not letting this thing turn into a tool for fucking evil or just completely deceiving people who are vulnerable to this kind of misinformation.
Yeah. But I guess if you have enough money.
Yeah,
I'm
right.
Not.
Yeah, because he's probably like, all right, well, good. How's the condo looking on Mars?
Right.
Is that shit going to be done?
Because
it's going to get
liquid water.
Yeah, it's going to be hot in like 15 years and I'm going to have to go.
All right. We're going to take a quick break. We'll be right back. And we're back. And Tom Cruise, baby.
Oh,
he's back.
He's
never
back.
Went away.
Yeah,
really.
Never left.
But like Tom Cruise in any one of his movies, his career just keeps sprinting faster and faster for no real reason and against any rules of physics and logic. And after a pretty mediocre opening trilogy, the Mission Impossible movies are getting better. The latest Mission Impossible movie, the sixth in the franchise, is sitting at 86 on Metacritic right now.
What?
It comes out tomorrow on Friday. It's at 86 is on par with movies that win Academy Awards. Like,
so I guess we know what we're talking here, huh?
Yeah.
He's getting that Oscar?
Finally.
I hope so.
But
hey, Tom. Hey, Tom, big fan.
I don't know. He's like figured something out, because the Mission Impossible franchise started out as Tom Cruise's excuse to do things that he thought Tom Cruise looked cool doing, like riding motorcycles that he could make literally like jump.
Yeah, right.
In
That's
Mission
cool,
Impossible
man.
2. And then in Mission Impossible 3, he like sprinted around a city shouting at people to get out of his way, which is his favorite thing to do in movies. And then he also was able to surf on explosions.
That's
like,
pretty tight.
He did?
Yeah. Like,
what do you mean?
You know when like the explosion in movies will propel your body across
something?
Like he was doing that like
Ooh.
Almost tactically.
Okay. Yeah. I missed that part.
So anyways, starting with the fourth one, for some reason.
Is that the one he was holding on to the side of the airplane? Or is that five?
That's five.
Oh.
Four is Ghost Protocol, Ghost Protes, where he climbs the tallest building in the world.
Oh, the Burj Khalifa.
Dangling, yeah, dangling
and
along.
And now that's Ghost Protes.
Ghost Protes.
And you're talking about Rogue Nash.
Okay.
Rogue Nash. Yeah. And now we're Fall.
Whatever. What is Fallout? It called now? Is that what it's called?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Wow.
And so I think Tom Cruise, despite being personally very problematic and somebody who has lived a lot of his life on the back of literal slave labor from the Sea Org in Scientology, check out Going Clear if you don't know what I'm talking about. That's an amazing book. But I've heard anecdotes about him on the set of the movie where he basically runs everything. Like, he's just involved in every shot, like every performance.
He's a businessman.
Yeah, but he's also, I think, a director, like an artist,
right.
Like
an
auteur. Jay Moore told the story on his podcast about how on Jerry Maguire in the restaurant scene where Jay Moore fires Tom Cruise, like Tom Cruise knew exactly where the edge of the shot was and was like using his hand off screen to like direct Jay Moore. He was like, okay, bring your face in a little bit closer with his hand. And then was like,
as
stop.
He's talking.
As they're shooting, as he's giving his performance. And okay. That was the shot they used because like Tom Cruise just knows exactly like what's going to look good and what's going to work for the shot. He was like, it was the most uncanny thing I've ever seen.
That's got to be such a, when as an actor, you'd be like, hey, motherfucker, let me do my shit.
Right.
Stop fucking like moving my face with your fingers. Like, okay, stop. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm,
right.
Good, good, good.
But is like the most likable person. So you can't like do anything about it, apparently,
yeah.
Because he was just like, and I love the guy. And Jay Moore is, I don't know. He seems like he doesn't love everyone. So.
Hey, Tom, if you're listening, big fan.
Yeah. Hey, and that's what we're here to say.
That's my podium now. Fuck Mark Zuckerberg, but hey, Tom. What's
hey, Tom.
Up?
Hey, really
I've
fuck
been alone.
Been watching a lot of your stuff. Yeah, he has a fucking weird energy about him. You know
oh,
what I mean?
Man.
Like, my dad, who's a photographer, has photographed him before.
Excuse?
And my mom, who is like a film critic, she's interviewed him. And, like, they always say, like, there's this thing about him that's just fucking intense.
Yes.
And not, like, you don't know what it is, but he's just, like, so engaged, like, locked
yeah.
in. And just be like, yeah. Like,
just you're
you and I
energy.
Are the only people that fucking exist right now.
Like
that's how he makes it feel when his focus is on you.
Lance Armstrong should have just injected Tom Cruise's blood into his arm.
Yeah.
And, like,
or just his breath.
Right.
Just be like, okay. Not good
I just
to
find so much more about you guys every time.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Wow.
Miles yeah. is. Every day I wait in front of the Scientology building with a DVD of Mission Impossible and a pen, hoping that he comes out for an autograph.
Yeah, but your mom is a film critic. Your dad's a photographer.
Yeah.
Miles is the
question. Slowly reveal things.
Right.
Very slowly.
Okay.
Very slowly.
Do you think that Tom's able to do that? Okay. Not to get all weird, but I'm going to get weird. Because he's able, like, if he makes you feel like you're the only person
mm-hmm.
there, do you think that's because he can recognize the God in somebody else? You know what I mean? Like, in that standpoint, it's like,
right.
we're all gods.
I
so
think
he's just, like, uber-focused. And
probably. Like, or he just has so much energy.
Yeah, you're right. Okay.
But I don't know. I think that could be it,
I've
though.
Been alone.
No. That's true, though.
That's my fallback.
I think he is very, like, almost superhuman. And, like, I've walked past him and been, like, felt a presence of, like, something. I was just like, holy shit, that guy's, like, amazing.
Holy shit, that guy's short.
Hey, you
no,
curious?
But like he is short, and that wasn't the thing I noticed. The thing I noticed was like, God damn, Tom Cruise looks amazing in person.
Scientology. Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Scientology, and also never having to worry about anything because you have a child army.
$1 trillion.
Yeah.
Exactly.
And also that.
And it's a church. Oh. You don't pay taxes.
Yeah. But we also talk about his, like, he's got a weird asexual energy about him that.
Tell me more.
Is just, well, you know, Eyes Wide Shut is famous for, you know, running over and possibly killing Stanley Kubrick. And, like, the whole problem with it was that he couldn't get a believable, like, sexual charisma and, like,
right.
sexual vibe between Tom Cruise and his actual wife. And I don't know. It's its own genre of movies, Tom Cruise movies, because he is like the auteur at the center of it. And it's it has the sprinting scene in it where he's like sprinting around like a young dog that just got off his leash. And but there's no like real actual sexual charisma, but you just like input your own idea of it in there because it's not coming from him.
Yeah, they're like damsels in distress.
Oh, trust me, it is not coming from him.
Yeah, there's like damseling in it, and there's like the just sort of the function of a story, quote unquote, love interest, but it's never like, yeah, man, the two of them really, there was a connection. You're like, nah, it's like, I think he was more into that plane.
Right. Yeah. His motorcycle is his love interest.
Like the way he was caressing that Ducati, I was like, god damn.
All right, guys, let's talk about the low-stakes Boston Tea Party that is going down. Someone set Betsy DeVos's $40 million yacht adrift in, I guess it was a river?
I think a lake.
A lake.
Yeah.
In Huron, Ohio. Yeah.
Lake she live there?
She has a yacht on a lake.
Yeah.
$40 million.
Put it in the ocean. You have $40 million just sitting on a lake.
Boring. What I found out through this is the family has so many yachts. They're about the yacht life. I think they have, the family is at least one of at least 10 boats that the DeVos family owns.
They got 10 boats.
They have 10 fucking yachts. Boats. Well, you know, she's obviously the wealthiest person in the cabinet too, because she had to disclose like her assets are like worth more than $580 million.
Right.
So, what about Betsy? Big fan.
Yeah. Big fan. Love what you're doing. Love
boats.
You.
Love your work.
But
love
yeah,
this education
someone,
thing you got going on.
Someone straight up was like, you know what? Let's just show this fucking evil do or something. And all they did was untied it, set it adrift, and they're like, it scraped up the hull.
Got
so we're looking
up.
At $5,000 to $10,000 worth of damage. Oh yeah, big hit to you.
But it's only a matter of time before people start like setting these people's yachts on fire, right?
Oh yeah, I mean,
yikes.
So.
Okay.
I mean, look,
I'm suggesting
as like there's these
the
haves and have-nots grow. I mean, I think people look at someone who has is a millionaire who has just a $40 million yacht as an afterthought, who's also behind setting very dangerous policies in our education system, like not protecting LGBT or trans students or fucking making people who have been scammed out of student loan things like debt forgiveness even harder. I'm like, yo, that's what I'm like. I don't understand. Eventually, like in an ideal world, no one who's a millionaire will hold office because the majority of this country is not millionaires. And these people are not in touch enough with the reality, the day-to-day. I cannot believe that there's someone with a $40 million yacht who's going to look at something like student debt and be like, oh, yeah, that's awful. I don't know
She's
how you get on your feet.
She's in charge of our public schools.
Yeah.
That's fucking crazy.
So, but anyway, you know, low stakes Boston Tea Parties.
Somebody who would never, ever, ever send someone they love to a public school.
Right, exactly.
Is in charge of our public schools.
I can't wait to have $40
million.
Yeah. Right.
You said $40 million, and I was like,
oh, also,
an island. I would buy an island.
Yeah, right? And just be like, don't talk to me.
In Lake Huron, right?
Lake Huron.
I would buy Lake Huron.
You know what the boat was
something
called?
So,
water rights.
There is something so Betsy DeVos and, like, you know, Trump administration about yachts on lakes.
Oh, yeah.
Because, like, they don't want to be on the coasts because people hate them on the coast.
Yeah, yeah.
So they just have, like, inland yachts.
Right. It's better because, like, Florida,
yachts.
I'm going to have to deal with Puerto Ricans.
Right.
Or New York. I mean, there's some good people there. California, forget it.
Right.
Pretty soon, they'll just be buying up the middle of the country to dig it out so they can put their yachts and, like, boat in peace and just be like, yeah, well, this is Billionaire Lake.
Wow.
The boat was called, or is called, the Sequest.
Uh-huh.
Which is a great NBC show, if you remember, with Roy Scheider.
The Sequest in a lake?
Sequest.
Sequest in a lake?
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm, it hasn't gotten there. It's on a quest to eventually reach the sea.
Lake quest.
So what's going on with the Freedom Caucus?
Freedom Caucus, as we all know,
getting
like
thirsty.
Those Tea Party tea baggers who came up in power when they're like, Obama's a Muslim. Who's going to pay for our health insurance?
Liar!
Like, you know, Mark Meadows and old Jim Jordan and that whole gang. They, and like Devin Nunes as well. So a lot of these people, they're trying to get the impeachment process rolling on Rod Rosenstein, who's the deputy attorney general and is, you know, Robert Mueller's boss. And, you know, they've been trying this whole time for like the fucking last year or ever since Rosenstein has been in office. They've been trying to create as many artificial conflicts as possible to try and paint him as some kind of schemer, you know, partisan, despite being a Trump appointee and Republican.
Right.
He's basically has respect for the law, so they're taking that as contempt or something. And again, to impeach someone like this, the last time a non-president was impeached like this, it was 122 years ago. Mm-hmm. Because this kind of impeachment process is reserved for people who have committed treason, bribery, or other high crimes and misdemeanors. Their complaints are basically they're taking too long redacting these documents that we really have no business having in the first place. And right. just trying to complain about that and be like, oh, this is in contempt of Congress. Anyway, it's not going to go anywhere because it doesn't have the backing of the party leadership, so it won't even get a vote or anything. But again, this is them, I think, trying to also create some kind of pretext for Trump to be like, oh, well, you know, this guy looks like he's got to go. I mean, looks like they wanted to impeach him, so this right. guy's got to be bad.
Right.
But it's all bullshit, and it's like not even Paul Ryan can get behind it because he's like, the guys wow. don't. This is just come knock it off.
Paul, what's up, man?
He's on his way out, so I don't know. Who knows what's going on?
He's opening up his own gym.
Yeah, right. Oh, that poster.
I love it. T-shirt.
It's crazy that they're
big
doing
fan,
this
Paul.
While the fallout from Helsinki is still happening. But it's almost crazy to think that the Putin-Trump Helsinki thing was only at the beginning of last week.
Yeah, yeah.
But there's a great podcast called Rational Security where – like everyone works in the national security industry or they're like a reporter on national security and they're very like middle of the road. Some of their takes are like more conservative than, you know, our takes on this show. But I was very curious to hear, you know, as insiders, when they came back, what their take on the whole Putin, they were off last week. I was curious what their take on the Putin Trump thing was. And it was like, talking to anyone, they were like, watching it, it's clear something's going on. It's not exactly clear what, but he probably has something on him.
Something's up.
They also said that the FISA application revelation was completely vindicating to the idea that Nunes is a complete fucking liar.
Right.
So they actually, like, no, they read the whole, you know, 400 pages and they're like, yeah, no,
get a life.
None yeah. of the right, okay, but it's
nerds.
What they do.
teasing,
and
no, fuck them. You're right.
You know
ever.
What, Paul Ryan, big fan,
but it's what they do. And they're just like, yeah, no, if you actually read it, like nothing the president's saying and nothing Nunes has said for the past, you know, number of months
since
is
he's had a feathered mullet.
True. Right, exactly. That image of
there's
me.
A photo.
Shots fired,
there's
man.
A high school photo of Devin Nunes, and he's rocking the turtleneck
oh,
with a cardigan.
With
no, full-on feathered mullet. It's
damn.
Beautiful.
The fact that he was considering giving up federal employees to be interrogated by Putin is still blowing people's minds.
Tight. Big fan.
So what? One of the side effects of the conference was yesterday, Pompeo went before Senate intelligence committees, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Basically, his message was what the president does is policy, not what he says. And basically what our administration does is policy, not what he says. But then when they actually like basically made him say that, like, so what you're saying is that like the president's words don't actually constitute policy. He was like, yeah, that's what I'm saying. And then he was like, wait, can I get a like mulligan on that? That's not what I meant, because he realized that would like piss Trump off yeah. so much. And also it's fucking crazy to
yeah,
hear
to
that
say,
the president's yeah. like words don't actually
hey,
matter.
He's just an avatar.
But like as so all the senators like jumped on that, they were like, wait, so you're saying that the president's just not, you know, that his words don't matter. And that like it basically you got the impression that there is the administration that is like basically trying to contain this president who is not on the same page, and they're almost like working at cross purposes with one another. And so as the senators kind of locked that message in, he got like more and more angry, to the point that at the end of the thing, they were like, so do you have any final statements? And he went, not a word.
Yeah.
He was like so fired up.
Oh, yeah. Him and Bob Menendez, they really went at each other. I mean, Bob Corker too gave him the business too. It was pretty interesting.
I bet yeah. Corker could give him the
yeah,
business.
Yeah, he did. He did.
Oh yeah,
he's
with on
the way out. Like Corker.
Yeah. Bob Corker.
Bob yeah. Corker is a porn name. Like, oh, yeah. A very unimpressive one, but still.
That's a first draft porn name.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
What are you thinking, Bob, for your porn name? Bob Corker? That's your name. Oh, okay. I thought that would be good, though.
The Corker.
Yeah. The Corker.
Corker.
Put a cork in it.
Big fan.
Big fan, Corker. Big fan of your work of finding your spine after you retire, but then still being a rubber stamp for every vote that's needed.
Yeah, okay. Okay. Oh, yeah. Pass. Yep. Yep.
Yeah. I think the most, the biggest implication or the biggest sort of effect that the Helsinki summit had is that now even the mainstream media seems to be taking it very seriously, the idea that Trump is compromised in some way.
Yeah.
That was a conspiracy theory before, and now I've read like three very well-researched, pretty intricately reported articles being like, this is how it probably could have happened and all the ways they could have gotten to him.
Right, based on past patterns of this kind
of thing. Past patterns of, of things they've done and also, like, you know, past business arrangements and travel plans of Trump. So,
yeah. Well, and then he also had John Bolton basically double down on the whole idea that it's a witch hunt. Like, John Bolton just came out. He's like, yeah, like, we'll probably talk to Putin after this whole Russia witch hunt's over. And, like, the person in that National Security Advisor role typically does not say anything political like that. Like, you're not there to be like, oh, it's a witch hunt, man.
Right.
Like, and then again, you have the White House at odds with the intelligence community.
Yeah.
And I don't think, you know, it's.
Yeah, Trump.
More
like,
details.
Trump said, no, I believe my intelligence. But now then he said it's a witch hunt. And, you know, he's like said five contradicting things since the Helsinki summit. And I think the idea is just admit whether this is by design or just a thing that accidentally
works. Oh, I think
it's
confusion by design.
Yeah.
Right.
I think it's something that might just accidentally work for him. And he happens to be the perfect sort of mentally ill for this media moment.
Right.
But either way, it's exhausting to try and rebut somebody who says five contradictory things, and the people who actually support him don't care that only one of them can be true,
right?
And that probably all five of them are not true.
Yeah. Well, the other thing too is that when he goes more, is like, you know, Russia might help the Democrats in the midterms. You don't know because I'm so like they don't like me, even though Putin said I want him
to
be president.
Such a manipulative. Right?
And then also like if you so, but you'll believe they'll meddle in this midterm. You believe that they didn't in the general. And then you still won't invest in any kind of election security despite you saying that you think that they're going to help the Democrats. What the fuck are you doing then?
Yeah.
So everything is just in direct contradiction to itself at every turn. It's so entertaining. God.
And yet there are still a lot of conservatives who are like there was a Wall Street Journal op-ed where they were like, see, this FISA application proves that they were at least partially influenced by the Steele dossier. Like they're just. Yeah. Focusing on this like pinprick narrow like piece of the information that they can construct an argument around that this is all like you know fruit of a poisoned tree, but it's just it's an insane argument that you have to like really willfully be shutting your eyes.
Yeah,
to. Even the breastfeeding thing. That was just like, are you fucking kidding me?
Yeah, well then you suddenly know, they're like, nah, don't be telling people breastfeeding's good.
We want you to buy this powder.
Yeah, and also if you don't, we'll sanction you.
Right.
Did we talk about that last
No,
week?
I don't think we did.
Well, yeah, there. So I feel like we did. Maybe if we didn't, though, there was a UN health summit basically around just getting the message out that breastfeeding is good for the baby and it should be encouraged. And its formula isn't the only option.
Right.
And then everyone was like, yeah, we agree. The one country, the U.S., saying, no, don't say that. Don't encourage women to breastfeed. Even though, like, all the studies show, like, it helps, especially in, like, developing worlds, like, where you don't have access to other forms of food. Like, breast milk is great for the child. And they were threatening.
Not that if you can't breastfeed that it's a bad thing.
No.
Because there are a lot of women that can't.
Right, of course. And they're not even trying to say, like, it's the only option. They're just saying, like, hey, if you can, check it out.
Right.
Basically, there's no worry with it. And the U.S. was just threatening other countries, like, oh, you don't want us to start sanctioning you. Don't make it hot for yourself.
I know, like big pharma. Get a grip, man.
Yeah.
And then eventually they caved.
And Nestle and other people who make baby formula. By the way, baby formula is just the grossest shit in the world.
Yeah, it tastes awful.
You've been sucking on it lately?
Yeah.
It doesn't work in your coffee, your milk.
It smells so bad. It's
got
this like weird, ugh.
You guys ever
use collagen?
It's
like metallic smelling.
Collagen?
Collagen powder in your coffee or in your protein?
No.
No.
Stinky, but
good.
Works.
All right.
It's stinky, but it works,
Pro
baby.
Tip.
It works to do what?
Just restore collagen in your body.
Oh, interesting. Okay.
So if you have achy bones, achy muscles.
Yeah, a little collie. Ooh, all right. Skin, little lift. Skin. Yeah.
We're going to go inject collagen into our body, and we will be right back. And we're back. And, whew, that collagen, man.
Yeah.
Feeling good.
You look about 14 years younger.
Thank you.
Stinky, but it works.
Yeah.
Stinky, though. Woo!
Should have told me. We
my
were dry
eyes are watering. Miles.
Jack.
23andMe, baby.
23andMe, yes. The
Mine
dating
just
site.
Just arrived the in the mail.
The dating site where you try and be with Michael Jordan is back. So 23andMe is that DNA test kit.
Big fan.
That will either reaffirm your very superficial sense of racial identity or throw it into a tailspin when you realize you might be kind of a little bit Asian. But we've always wondered here what the fuck they're doing with our DNA. Because it's like, at this point, like 5 million people have
they're
used it.
They're storing a bank.
Yeah, they're like, what are they doing? Is this like for a big database or whatever? So.
Is it?
We got a little announcement today that, well, it's on the path to darkness. So they announced today with pharma giant GlaxoSmithKline that they will be using all of your genetic info to help them get richer, basically, to do more research on drugs.
I love it.
Now, the first project is looking at new drugs for Parkinson's. So I'm all about the research. Don't get me wrong. Based on a gene called LRRK2 that is mutated in some Parkinson's patients. And so they're saying that this gene may play a significant role in Parkinson's, even among patients who don't have mutations. So they're trying to use it for good. However, right, where does it go after this? Because I think right now, when you take the test, you do have an option to opt out of having your DNA being used for research. But like, what's the deal for the people who have already given up their fucking gene sequence for them to research? Are they going to get discounts on medication?
No.
Do they get a stake in the benefits of this research when they've surrendered their own genetic information?
No.
Probably not. So it's a slippery slope because I think the dark side is like, this is just going to be a big database.
You're paying for them. You pay them.
Right.
Right, exactly.
You're
which is
paying them.
The greatest
and then
scheme.
They're selling that. Oh, I wish I was that smart.
Hey,
you know what I mean?
Oh, yeah. Oh, my God.
Like, damn.
That's the biggest bait and switch ever. They're like, oh, yeah. They're like, so you buy this information?
Join my Facebook group.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
Yeah. They're paying us.
They got.
To give us their DNA, their genetic.
Their GNA.
Their GNA. Their gangster.
Their GMA.
Sequence.
Good Morning America.
Now, will it all be anonymous, like not connected to people's identities?
No.
Well, they just have all this data, but so they'll be like, oh, okay, so we have the genetic sequence of a woman who is of like mostly Irish German descent of this age, and like we can use that. And like they just have a huge, just basically a whole plethora of genetic information to sort of back this research. Not that the research itself is going to be bad, because like this is, it's useful to have that information, but it's all about like, yo, hold on, this was y'all playing the whole time. Like I think GlaxoSmithKline like invested like $300 million in 23andMe. And like,
oh, really?
The main geneticist person at 23andMe like worked with the dude at GlaxoSmithKline, like before at another gene company before. So they were probably like, oh, okay, so you go over there. I'm going to start this thing. Like, whatever.
I actually really love this stuff, like studying genes.
Yeah. I mean, it's interesting.
DNM. No, I'm teasing. What if I was just like, DNM, cotton. I love it. No, it's such an easy alone joke. No,
well,
it's insane.
Back.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. I think at some point there probably has to be a little bit more oversight on like, you know, this is probably the most sensitive information you can have.
Yeah, but we're going to be able to make a human the way we want to make a human. But then that's just like, ethically, is that okay? Or morally, is that okay?
Yeah, when you go down like the Gattaca road.
Yeah, you really want to go down this path. But, you know, hey.
Have you ever done it? Have you ever done those gene tests?
Have a baby?
No, 23 minutes.
Have I ever had a genetically engineered baby? Not yet, but
okay.
I will.
No comment. But let's say number 4228 is my favorite.
Yeah. I've never done one of those. I don't trust them. I've never trusted them.
I have two of them. I have an Ancestry.com one and a 23andMe one chilling in my garage because I've been like about to do it. I'm like, no, something
don't
feel right.
Do it.
And I already know I'm black and Japanese, so I don't need to know anymore. Maybe there'll be some Korean or Chinese in there. Fine. I'll deal with that. I don't need to give you my DNA.
It's not like they're telling you like who your great-great-great-great-grandparents are.
Well, if they had done 23andMe, they could have.
You know, it's just like, okay, like I'm Czech, German, Danish, and then Native American, and then something else. But it's like, I don't need a fucking DNA test.
Yeah, I think one interesting thing would be to see like the other parts that you don't realize, because I feel like, you know, in Japan, it's an island country and pretty homogenous, but I know there's got to be other things in there, and I'm interested to know that.
I'm not like shitting on people. My brother
not at all, but yeah. I'm more interested in the African ancestry one. I think that's the only one that would be cool, because then you could be like, despite being African American, we can tell you where in Africa you most likely came from.
Yeah.
That's a little more useful for my own like identity, but there's something about just giving up my gene sequence.
I would want to know more about my gene sequence than my ancestry.
Right, because they have like the health ones that'll tell you like you might be at risk for these things, or like based on your DNA, we can tell you probably don't need caffeine,
or you will have this.
Yeah. 23andMe does that too.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay,
well,
sign me up. 23andMe, big fan.
Big fan. You're back on board.
Big fan. Okay, great. Paul
Love
Ryan.
GlaxoSmithKline.
Call me. Can we get Paul on the phone?
Let's try. Sophie, can we get him? He's busy.
Okay, yep. Come on, Paul.
He's eating ice cream right now.
No, he's working out.
Oh, yeah.
What flavor of ice cream, if Paul Ryan were to be eating ice cream right now, what flavor would you guess?
Oh, my God.
Miles?
He would be going to Falkirk, Scotland to get the new one, Hellman's Mayonnaise, which is a new flavor of ice cream.
You're lying.
Yo, this ice cream shop in Falkirk, Scotland. They got a lot of buzz on the internet.
Be right there, baby.
Yeah. They were straight up.
Finally!
Yeah, that people were like, either like, what the fuck is this? We don't even, I mean, I get it. I'm not like a mayonnaise like phobic person. Like, I'm fine having it on shit. But but also at the same time, the idea of even a spoonful of mayonnaise at once makes me want to drive.
But just put your mayonnaise in the fucking freezer. Am I allowed to say all these curse words?
Yes.
Okay, I don't know.
I mean, you've already been talking about massive amounts of cum, I think.
I think our listeners can hear the F word.
They can handle this.
Mom.
But yeah, it's weird. Some people have been like outright, no, this is wrong. This is an abomination.
This is wrong.
Other people are just sort of like, they say that like mayo is like a secret ingredient for some people. Like people use it in cakes. Like it helps like a little bit add moisture or richness to a cake. And then the people who have actually had it say it's surprisingly good. Like it's just a very rich, creamy
flavor.
Hey,
if you're listening, if you want to ship it over.
Yeah. Is it sweet?
It's like, I think they've made it a little bit sweeter, but mayonnaise is sort of like the basis for it.
This sounds like a Nathan for you.
It does.
Episode. Yeah. No,
yeah,
it does.
Like the poop flavored frozen yogurt.
Yeah. Just to get a buzz going. But Do you fuck with mayonnaise? Do you think you'd fuck? Like, just to try a bit?
I don't not fuck with mayonnaise,
right.
But like.
You're not out here hugging a jar of Hellman's.
I'm not a huge, huge fan. I'm not like Nick Weiger of the Doughboys who will eat a spoonful of mayonnaise like as a snack.
Disgusting.
I am
sick freak.
Like one of my favorite foods in the world is the cranberry tuna salad at Whole Foods. Have you ever had that shit?
I've had it, but I don't like sweet with savory. Like especially with chicken salad or tuna salad. Like grapes in my chicken salad? No.
I like sweet with savory, so this doesn't immediately offend me, but it kind of does because I don't think I've ever had I guess I do like mayonnaise based things that have sweetness. So I'll shut up and try it, I guess.
Yeah, put your bowl of mayonnaise down, Jeff.
Put your mayonnaise down, dude.
It's good. The whitest thing ever.
I mean, what they should do, Japanese mayonnaise, QP mayonnaise, that's where it's at, because that's already kind of sweet. I would fuck with that.
Dude. Yeah. You just gave your idea out, and somebody's going to steal that idea.
That's fine. You know, I forget better ideas. People take a lifetime thinking up.
QP is sweet, like Miracle Whip?
It's a little bit sweeter. That's like the X factor in a lot of when Anthony Bourdain was going so crazy over Japanese egg salad sandwiches. Yeah. Like, Japanese mayonnaise is just different. Like, so it's a little bit sweeter.
Huh.
Yeah. Get it at your local Asian market.
I will. Mm-hmm. I'll try it.
Well, speaking of things that white people love, Frasier might be coming back, you guys.
Any fans in here?
Did
you ever
really.
Watch Frasier?
I mean, if it's on, it's on. But I'm not like,
if it's
watch.
On, it's
on.
On,
baby. On yeah. If it's on, it's fucking
get
on.
Get the mayo! Paul! It's on!
Paul, it's on!
I started watching it a little bit more once it got on Netflix because of super guest Jamie Loftus's obsession with it.
What's up, Jamie?
Uh-huh.
She loves her some Frasier.
And, she would.
She was on a live episode of the Cracked podcast talking about her weird sexual feelings toward Niles. But she also like talked about the show enough that I was like, oh yeah, maybe Frasier wasn't that bad. And it's not
that it's
bad.
It's not... I just don't give a fuck.
Right.
I'm not invested in it. I never watched it back then. Like, I don't care now. I don't give a fuck about tossed salads and scrambled eggs. Why are they? Why? This is the thing, though, with all these reboots like Roseanne and Will and Grace and Murphy Brown. It's just
Murphy?
Like, yeah,
excuse
it's like
me.
The industry's sort of reluctance to either come
is it
up
the
with new
same
shit.
Murphy?
I think it was like most from yeah, mostly.
I'm
yeah.
so sorry. This first time I'm hearing about it.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Murphy's back.
They've been talking about it. Should be. I think it's on its way back.
Yeah. Well, sign me up.
But this whole thing is like, yo, why aren't we just embracing new creators, new stories, POCs, LGBTQ community? Like, what the fuck? Like, we don't need to reboot these old shows that are sort of relics of the, you know, bygone era.
Well, see, Roseanne came back and she had a Muslim neighbor. So
yeah, that's fine.
That answers
yeah,
your
and
question.
And she peddles in Pizzagate conspiracies.
Done. But yeah, I think it's basically, you know, these shows were on at a time when a TV rating was like impressive if it got 25% of the viewing population.
Right.
And like it was like tons and tons of people watched these things because there weren't all these streaming services. And so a quick way to like hack into that part of our history is just to like bring the actual shows back. And, you know, the ratings have been huge. So it's a hack that makes sense. I just don't necessarily know that we're moving the culture forward.
It's literally like the MAGA version of TV development.
Right.
Of like just looking in the rear view. Hey, that was pretty cool.
Hey, man.
Why don't we bring that back?
Yeah.
And it's not forward thinking. You know, and like a lot of your audiences are younger. They're getting mm-hmm. younger. Mm-hmm. And they, you know, we're out here. We're looking for other shit.
Tell me when Joe Dirt's back. I will audition for that role.
Joe Dirt?
Joe Remember Dirt. Joe Dirt?
Yeah.
The David Spade movie?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Husker Du's? Husker Don'ts?
Does anybody want to reboot Joe Dirt with me?
Yeah, I'm down.
Okay, tight. We'll Great. Do our own
we'll,
Joe Dirt.
We'll talk off air because yeah. we don't want this idea stolen.
Thank you.
Not like my Japanese mayonnaise ice cream
Shut
idea.
Shut up.
But yo, like, I would love to see Living Single rebooted.
Oh, that would have been great.
I would have fucking
yes.
flipped out. New York Undercover? I mean, it wasn't a great show, but I would, if it came back, I'd be like, yep.
Night Court.
What is
Night
New York
Court.
Undercover?
It was starring Michael DiLorenzo and Malik Yoba. Malik Yoba was from Cool Runnings and many other things. And Michael DiLorenzo, little known fact, he was in the Beat It video with Michael Jackson.
Oh, shit.
But yeah, it was just about like these cops. Like there was, you know, it was like a, you know, non-all-white cop duo just navigating, you know, the crimes of New York. And it was done in a way that, like, I know most young people were like, yo.
Well, I will
New York
say.
Kind of covers the wave.
This is the second time I've heard somebody call for a Living Single reboot. So I think if one more person calls for it, they technically have to
I'll
reboot
call for it.
So yeah. Okay.
Call for it.
Call. Yeas have it.
Call. The yeas have it. Living Single.
I've hit the gavel.
Reboot that shit.
So let it be written. So let it be done.
Also, Different World would be pretty good.
Different World, yeah.
Because that's just the main character of that show, really, is the college. You know?
Right.
Think about it, man.
Yeah, I just miss Jasmine Guy.
Yeah.
Is she okay? What's she up to?
Jasmine, what's up?
Big
she could
fan.
Be like the Big dean fan. Or something.
Student. Yeah.
Ever.
Yep.
It was a pleasure having you
it was
as
nice
always.
Nice to be back. I love coming here and chatting with you guys.
Yeah.
Where can people find you?
You can find me on the internet, EverMainord. And then also I'm in the movie, it's on Netflix now, called The Feels.
What?
Yeah.
Okay.
It's out on Netflix.
What's it about?
Gays. No, it's about it's yeah. about a bachelorette party that kind of goes awry, and like it is queer positive. It's LGBTQ,
dope.
But it was a cool film to be a part of. It we improvised it
2 weeks. Whoa.
It's with Constance Wu and Angela Trimber.
Oh shit.
Okay.
Yeah, and then the cast and crew is over like 80% female, including
dope.
The crew. Like
dope.
It was pretty tight. It was cool to be a part of, and like the director and like Janae Lamarck.
The director was a 60-year-old white man.
Brad.
He's an ally, though, I guess.
No, but it was like a conscious effort.
That's cool. Wait,
and it was
it's
cool.
improvised, huh? So
yeah.
what, you just had
we
sort
had
of scene
outline.
Structure stuff?
Yeah.
Like, okay, we got to get to this ending
mm-hmm.
for this scene or whatever.
Yeah.
That's dope.
It
okay.
was really cool. It was a really great experience.
And it's called The Feels.
Yeah. Lauren Belinda Parks is also co-writer, and she's also in it. It was cool. It was fun. It was tight. Josh Fadem, Carine. Is in it, so
oh,
it's
so
tight. Yeah, it's so great.
Some funny people in that.
Yeah, so it okay. was really fun. So that's on Netflix right now. It,
I'm
it is
literally
a comedy
watch it right now or tonight.
Okay, tight.
Yeah, I love
it's
anything
the feels?
Improvised.
Yeah,
yeah.
I play regular Helen.
Is that like your
Helen?
Character's name is
regular
Helen?
Helen. Yeah.
Aww, what's the other Helen like?
Don't know.
Oh, that's just like your shitty name, like a fucking regular Helen.
There's like a story about how like I'm a chef, and then I got not gonna spoil it.
I'm sure there's a backstory to this name.
Yeah, there is a backstory. Okay. Right. Yeah, yeah, it was fun. It was a great experience. It's led to some more fun things. So, but yeah, I can finally say it's on Netflix. Dope. Like, it was just one of those things where it was like, when?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And now it's there.
Now it's there.
Yeah.
Constance Congrats. Wu is about to be so huge, too.
Yeah, well, she's in, like, Crazy Rich Asian. She's in everything.
She's the best. Do you have a tweet, by any chance, that you've been enjoying from anyone?
From Constance? Or
just from anyone. It's a new thing we ask for.
You know who I really like? The Share Zone.
Oh, yeah.
On Twitter.
Uh-huh.
That's who I'm really enjoying right now.
Okay.
The motherfucking Share Zone. They always have a really dumb thing.
What's an example of one of their tweets?
Now it says, like, there's a photo I'm looking at right now. It's a skull mug. It says, drink up, bitch. It's hot outside. You need to hydrate. If you're hungry, I can get you a snack. I mean, it's, like, weirdly positive, but it's still, like, always kind of fucked up, this Share Zone. Big shout out. Big fan of the Share Zone.
That's a follow.
Yeah. And then, like, some guy tweeted, why would I buy a card game from somebody who can't even spell? And then the Share Zone wrote, I fucked up and will try to do better. Sorry, Robert. Like, misspelling. I mean, it's just dumb. It's just dumb stuff that I love. But I also really like, you know, positive messages.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. You don't like nihilist memes?
No. I'm going to go and I'm going to go be alone again today, guys.
Oh, no,
is this podcast ending?
No, no.
Okay.
Outside of, we have a lot of concerned friends and family. Just want to tell you how much they love you.
I'm doing okay. I'm not like sad. I'm just like, our thoughts are made out of atoms. Like, I've been reading a lot of, like...
yeah, like how thoughts are physical things.
Yeah.
And can affect matter outside of the body.
Exactly, and matter is granular. I've been reading a lot of, like, quantum physics and physics.
I know, we can talk about that.
Okay, tight, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Just, we'll go to this doctor first.
Okay, no, come on, man. I was being really sincere.
No, I was too, no, because my dad put me on that very early. He was like, you know, because people want to act like that doesn't exist, but
it does.
Electrons are firing and that is matter.
And
so
you have atomic resonance. Yes. So like if you're feeling good and I'm around you, the higher vibration's going to go up. But if I'm so depressed and you're like, oh, why am I fucking feeling depressed? Yeah. Bam. Anyways,
boom.
Really into that stuff.
No, it's very, energy is very palpable, especially people's.
I mean, Tom Cruise.
Right.
Look at him. Because he
Tommy.
Recognizes God.
Charisma.
Tom Creasy. Calm
Charisma.
Truce.
Calm Truce. You guys listen to 92.3.
DJ Charisma?
Yeah.
Yo, that's the homegirl. I used to work with her.
No way.
Yeah. Shout out Young California.
Yo, it's me, Charisma.
Charisma.
That's a very local LA radio thing.
Yeah,
for me, you can find me on Twitter and Instagram at Miles of Gray. A tweet I like it's a picture. I don't know if people saw the picture that was going around of Grimes, Elon Musk, and his son like getting off like a plane together, and they look like the weirdest couple. And it's a quote retweet with that photo, and above it says, sorry, I can't play Fortnite. I was grounded by my stepmom, Grimes. And the kid looks all like a kid
dejected.
Who would be, like he'd be like, man, I can't play Fortnite. Anyway, I love their love.
I do too. They are my... relationship goals, am I right, guys? You can follow me on Twitter at @Jack_O'Brien. A tweet I've been enjoying. Let's go with Matt Oswalt. Said, if Obama was president and a tape existed of him telling a lawyer to pay off his mistress in cash, the GOP would have repealed the Emancipation Proclamation by now. which is definitely true.
Yeah.
You can follow us at Daily Zeitgeist on Twitter. We're at The Daily Zeitgeist on Instagram. We have a Facebook fan page and a website, dailyzeitgeist.com, where we post our episodes and our footnotes. We link off to the information that we talked about in today's episode, as well as the song we ride out on, Miles.
Oh,
what's
today?
That gonna be?
Charisma.
I mean, it's from DJ Charisma. Let's see. Well, you've been talking a lot about Tom Cruise, so why don't we play a track by Calm Truce?
Ooh.
And this song is by Calm Truce, and it's called Glawio. I don't know what the name's supposed to mean exactly, but, you know, if you know Calm Truce's stuff, it sounds like just spooky 80s sort of synth kind of beat music, and this just kind of gives me a little, you know, just a little shoulder pop as I listen to it. And it just felt right, because this has been a Calm Truce, Tom Cruise-centric episode.
All right, we're going to ride out on that. We will be back tomorrow because it is a daily podcast. We'll talk to you guys then. Bye.
Bye-bye. Thanks for having me.